Blog Talk Radio.
Hey all, welcome back to Welcome to My World. It's Dominique, and we've got a special Valentine's Day episode this morning. I'm just getting started with my coffee, and I'm walking back here to my office where we're going to start our show. We've got some interesting segments for you this morning, and I really hope that you will enjoy them. And the first thing that I want to do as I'm getting set up and as I'm turning my computer on here is to encourage anybody who needs some advice, whether it be related to love, whether it be related to dating, whether it be related to Valentine's Day in particular, to call in and join us for a talk. Of course, you're welcome. If you would prefer not to call in, you're welcome to join us on Periscope, on our live Periscope feed, and that is at Progressive Dom. So at Progressive Dom, you can find us on Periscope or you can call in and join us. We've got some great writing questions that were submitted prior to today's show. And we're going to go ahead and start off with those. But I want to give everybody an opportunity to call in and to voice your opinion and voice your opinion on Valentine's Day, voice your opinion on love, and tell us what you're going through and what your struggle is right now so that we can talk about it, right? So sometimes you're going to have to bear with me and stick on topic like today, and then other days we're just going to do a little bit of a free-for-all as far as advice. I know people have enjoyed so far joining us so that we can sort of hand out advice that I would give to my clients in session without you having to come in for a session. And I always aim to be practical with my advice. So hopefully you'll enjoy what I have to say to some of our readers and listeners who have written in. So without further ado, we're going to actually start off with our first segment. And please bear with me. I am having a little bit of an issue with allergies this morning. So as I settle that down, let's get started. So I'm going to actually put up a little bit of a request here. No Googling, because we're going to start out with a trivia section. And we're going to start out with some Valentine's Day trivia this morning. So no Googling. It's no fun if you Google, at least it's no fun for me, maybe it's fun for you, but we're going to start out with a couple of questions, and I think I'm just going to throw a question out there now and then as we go through the day's show. So the first question is, and we'll hit the answers as we move through the show. So the first question is, which Boyz II Men love song spent 14 weeks at number one in 1994? And for those of you who are my age, obviously this is going to be a no-brainer. You're going to know this one. It's going to be pretty simple for you to answer. So you're not going to have to use Mr. Google for this. And if you do, oh my goodness, we need to talk. So let's start out by looking at some listener write-in questions here. And we have got some good ones this morning, I think. And some reader write-in questions as well, because we have a corresponding blog at welcometomyworld@blogger.com, so you can look us up there. But we've got some great questions this morning, and in fact, I believe I'm going to go ahead and set up my Periscope feed right now just so that anybody who would like to chime in with other questions can do so. So Charity, if you'd like to join us on Periscope, it's at Progressive Dom. That's at Progressive Dom. And here we go, setting up our Periscope feed at Progressive Dom. And I'm just going to label it Ask Us Your Valentine's Day Questions live on the air. And I'm going to set this up. I'm not going to run it quite yet, but it's queued and it's ready to go. So for those of you who do have questions, please feel free to join in about 5 minutes, all right, on Periscope at Progressive Dumb. So the first person who wrote me refers to me known as Sarah with an H, L, and she writes, should I go out with my ex? We had a bad breakup, but he texted me yesterday saying, sorry, I got this email yesterday or this messenger message yesterday. So apparently this woman's ex texted her the day before yesterday and asked her to go out and asked her to go out ostensibly on Valentine's Day from what it sounds like. I don't want to read too much into a listener's question, but I do want you guys to have some context. So he said that he was sorry. Apparently he did something wrong. They had a bad breakup and he asked her out and she's considering it obviously, or she would not be writing. Without any further context, the only thing I can offer you is that something I always try to tell my clients to be mindful of and something I do in my own life is that I try to be very mindful of how many chances I'm giving people, and I'm certainly not saying to not give them another chance. I'm just saying I don't know your situation, so if you've given them two or three chances already, then I'd say maybe tell him you'll see him another day, but not Valentine's Day, okay? And if you've not given him any other chances and you just fought over something silly and really you're still dating and you like him a lot, then yes, go out with them, absolutely. But one thing I want to throw out there is that I don't want any of you to ever feel pressured to say yes to somebody, to go out, to have sex, whatever it may be. Whether it may be on Valentine's Day or any other day. So you don't need to feel pressured ever to go out with somebody that you don't want to go out with. You don't ever need to feel pressured to be with somebody that you don't want to be with. And I think that's a very important message. I think that's a very important message. So, yeah, I would say if you really like him and you feel like you are compatible and you haven't given him too many chances, absolutely, why not? Give him a chance and see what happens. I think that that's never a bad thing, right? Now, we are trying to set up our studio here so that we can take some live calls. Unfortunately, I'm having a little bit of trouble. And, the website, unfortunately, is not responding. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to re-enter www.blogtalkradio.com into my web browser, and I'm going to restart my session because I think it's really important that we're able to take calls on a day that I told everybody to call in. So, that's kind of a big deal, guys. So I'm waiting here on Blog Talk Radio to get its shit together and open up. So come on. All right. Yes. Wonderful. One moment, please. So that was an entertaining 5 seconds. I do apologize for that. I'm not a fan of the fact that we now get to see a bunch of ads when we open up the browser and enter into blogtalkradio.com because, hell, some of us are hosts and are live on the air. So let's be real here. That was not cool, and I apologize. Going into the studio, I'm going to be ready to take calls any moment here. I do apologize. It looks like we had somebody who called in who did not make it onto the air, and I'm going to go ahead and pass that off on Blog Talk Radio, okay? That's just Blog Talk Radio's fault, not mine. So I apologize to you. I did have the screen open, and I did have the studio open. It just didn't want to work. So please call back. Please call back. You were not ignored or hung up on. You didn't call at the wrong time. Go ahead and call back. We want to talk to you. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next reader question here. And that is from Brandon. No last name. And that's fine. I've got a couple of anonymouses here, too. So this is from Brandon, no last name. And his question is, Okay, he says his ex-boyfriend cheated on him, but his ex-boyfriend did ask him out for Valentine's Day. He really likes his ex-boyfriend, but he's worried that he'll get stood off or even worse, and he's worried that if he sees his ex-boyfriend that they have so much chemistry that they will have sex and that he'll regret it. And, I mean, we all feel you on that one. We understand how it is to have a relationship with somebody that is more physical than emotional, and that's fine if that's what you're looking for. It sounds like this one's a little bit tumultuous, and it sounds like you may have had some conflict with this person in the past, and it sounds to me, just the way this question was phrased, it sounds to me like you know this person is not healthy for you. So I'm going to suggest, if that is the case, that you don't actually go out with him and that you just tell him you'll see him another day. Like I mentioned to the person who wrote in before, it's okay to have questions about whether or not you feel you want to see someone. It's okay to not be sure. It's okay to say no. And if you really do want to see this person that you've quarreled with maybe a lot and that you've had a lot of history with and that you yourself say you might regret seeing if you do see him, then I think it's best, especially on such an emotionally charged day for many folks, to not see him today. I think that if you were to see him today, it might bring up, and this could not be true at all, but this is my feeling, and just I'm speaking from experience working with people in many different kinds of relationships. But I think if you were to see him today, it's probably going to bring up some feelings of, you know, emotional attachment, maybe some feelings of anger, and you don't really want to get involved with that on Valentine's Day. I think after the drama that you seem to have been through, you need to have like a light and breezy Valentine's Day. So go find somebody that you've never met before. Go out to like an event where there are going to be single people. I don't want to say a singles event because that can be kind of cheesy, but there are singles events out there that are interesting and neat, and just like there are couples events out there that are interesting and neat, as well as ones that are cheesy. You've got to pick and choose, but you can at least, you know, browse meetup.com. That's a great resource for people. It's not a dating site for those of you who are unfamiliar, but it's a site that gathers together people of common interest, and I'm sure that there are many people with many common interests to your interests, Brandon, and I'm sure that you can find some cool people to hang out with today that are not going to make you feel pressured or unsafe or treat you in a way that's counter to how you want to be treated. If you're noticing pauses here, I have to pause to sip my coffee because that is how we roll around here. I mean, coffee is first and foremost, right? Everything else is secondary. And I have this wonderful new espresso machine that I was gifted very recently. So I've got to use it to its full advantage. And so you get to hear me sip coffee on the air. We don't have anything queued up as far as sound bites today. So, you know, coffee is as interesting as it gets for you. You're welcome. So we're going to move on to the next trivia question, and I'm going to save answers for a little bit later. So trivia question number two for Valentine's Day trivia is, name the title of the song which became the theme to the movie Titanic. I think I was on a roll with this one. Like, I must have just been channeling some generational wisdom or something at this time when I was writing this. I am on such a roll with the millennial shit that it's just not even funny. So, please feel free to name the title of the song which became the theme song to the movie Titanic. Just the title, though I will give you some extra points if you can name the singer. And who can't, really? We were all so annoyed by that song for so long that it's ingrained deeply into our cultural memories. I'm positive about that fact. That was literally 1996's most annoying song ever. So I'm going to go live here on our Periscope feed. I'm going to go live on our Periscope feed right now. We're not going to be showing my face right now because contrary to what I wanted to do this morning, which was actually get ready for work and look nice, I tweaked my back a little bit yesterday, so I'm sitting here. Hello. I'm sitting here in sweatpants doing the radio show in sweatpants, so we're not going to be showing my face on Periscope, but feel free to listen in on Periscope and submit your questions, and go ahead and just ask me anything, love, dating, relationships, whatever you want to know about. Go ahead and submit your questions on Periscope. You're really going to be looking, you know what, I can give you a better view. Here, I'm going to give you a better view. Okay, you can see my coffee, and you can see my cute little, like, crystal ball thingy here, and you can see out the window, and you can see my orcas. So, boom, there you go. Much better view than looking at my program notes. So I'm going to position my Periscope feed right up here. So although I am not going to be physically visible on Periscope, you can all listen to my show right here, and you can submit your questions on Periscope right now. Love, dating, relationships, whatever questions you have, go ahead and ask. I'm not going to be going back and forth with conversations on Periscope other than to answer your questions, because I do need to stick to my program format. So the trivia question I'm going to repeat, and it is super easy, and I'm sure you all will get it right away, is name the title of the song which became the theme song to the movie Titanic in, I believe, 1996. And if you can name the singer, awesome. Name the singer. I'm sure that's going to kick literally every viewer off of Periscope. But if you have questions, go ahead and submit them. And if you'd like to answer that trivia question, go ahead and do that. As the question submissions come in about dating and relationships and the advice that people want on those matters, I am going to go ahead and read the next write-in question right now from one of our readers yesterday, which was submitted by somebody anonymously, and it was a pretty straightforward one. The anonymous asked, should I have sex with my boyfriend for the first time on Valentine's Day? She's a virgin. It seems like she's a she, and I just subscribe gender pronouns to her, and I maybe shouldn't have done that. But this person's a virgin, and she really wants to have sex, I guess, with this guy that she's dating. She's nervous, and she doesn't want to do the wrong thing. Well, I think to me this sounds like somebody who's very young writing in, and that's fine. You're welcome to make your own decisions at whatever age you're at. I think everybody should, you know, start out with a body positive, sex positive attitude in life, and that's great. But if you are a younger person and you are saving yourself for a special day, I would say save yourself for a day that's special to you, and don't feel that you have to do something because of the really Hallmark holiday of it all. You don't need to feel pressured to have sex because it's Valentine's Day. And that's kind of the feeling that I'm getting from you. So if I'm wrong about that and you're very interested and this was just a special occasion that you were waiting for, excellent, more power to you. But I am not getting that impression without knowing you and your relationship. And you guys, if you're submitting questions about dating or relationships on Periscope, please feel free to give me as much or as little context as you want. Some of the people that wrote in gave me very little context, and others gave me a little bit more. So if you're submitting questions here for the live show that's going on right now on Periscope, feel free to share as much information as you'd like or as little information as you like. It's up to you completely. So I'm going to give you the answer to the first trivia question of the morning. Excuse me. And no Googling when I ask the next ones. But the answer to the first trivia question, which was which Boys to Men love song spent 14 weeks at number one in 1994, is I'll Make Love to You. I think most people of my generation know that, and probably people of, I don't know if there's a later generation yet, but people of the younger generation will also probably know that as well. It's a really memorable song. And We'll cover the answer to the next question in a little bit. Those of you who are here, I'm going to scoot this around just a little bit so you can hear me okay. You get to look at my final UPS notice, and you don't actually get to tell me whether or not I'd like to show my face. Unfortunately, that's not up to you, friends. Thank you for your interest. That's not up to you. So if you'd like to submit your questions, feel free to do so right here on Periscope. You know what? I am going to move you around so that you're able to hear me better. I'll tell you, when I'm in my office at 7 a.m. in the morning and my back is out of sorts and I'm not feeling great, I am going to be the one who decides whether or not I get to show my face. So thank you for your interest, but no, this is a radio show. And I'm sure you've seen me many times before if you've been on my Periscope channel. I'm not hiding from anyone. So let's move on. Let's move on to some interesting historical information about Valentine's Day. And while I am talking, feel free to submit your questions on Periscope. I am eyeing my Periscope feed with one eye as I read my program notes and as I read off the information that we're going to be discussing. So feel free to submit your questions on Periscope. It looks like we've got a couple of questions that came into our Facebook feed this morning, and feel free to submit your love, dating, relationship, sex, and Valentine's Day questions. Coming up, we're going to do a segment called Dominique Saves Dinner, and I'm going to be saving your Valentine's Day dinner. Actually, this is something that, oddly, my clients ask me about a lot. Like, what do I cook for dinner if I'm making something for somebody, if I don't want to go out for a ridiculously expensive dinner and I just want to make something at home? What can I make that's easy and simple and that appeals, has like a crossover appeal depending on, you know, what your preferences are? Are you a vegetarian? Are you a meat eater? Like, what has that crossover appeal? What can I make that's easy and simple? So we're going to cover that a little bit later, and I hope that I will be able to save some of your dinners. I've had good luck with this particular menu, and I did actually create a four-course menu for you that I have used before to my own benefit in the past, and that has worked really well for me. So I've gotten a lot of compliments when I've cooked for loved ones and family and friends. I've made this particular meal, and I've always heard, more please, like, we never eat this much, but we've finished it all. Can I have some more? So that's kind of a cool compliment, and I'll be sharing that odd little four-course meal with you later on. So go ahead and submit your questions via Periscope, and right now we're going to start our This Day in History segment here on blogtalkradio.com/welcometomyworld. So go ahead and submit your questions. We're going to be keeping an eye on the Periscope feed as the show progresses. I'm just going to take my sweater off and get down to business here. It's warm in my office during the day. So for those of you who don't know, I'm going to get into a little bit of grisly history for you on Valentine's Day, because who doesn't want to skip through the lovey-dovey stuff and hear some grisly-ass history about Valentine's Day, right? Am I right or am I right? So here we go. I'm going to read from historychannel.com's website, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about something called the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. And while I am telling you about the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, you can submit your questions on Periscope at Progressive Dom. Go ahead and submit your love, sex, dating, relationship, and Valentine's Day questions while I am continuing on with the show, and I will answer them shortly. So the St. Valentine's Day Massacre happened, and I'm not going to tell you in what year it happened because this is one of our trivia questions. So it happened, though, in the 1920s. I'll give you that. And basically, Al Capone and Bugs Moran were the major gangsters in the city called Cicero. And they were fighting, actually, though, for territory on the north side of Chicago. And Bugs Moran was really the major criminal at that time. He owned the underworld at that time, and he was really the guy who was at the top of all of the mafia families and the crime rings. And so he knew that Al Capone was going to try to come up on him. Al Capone, coming in from the south side, was going to try to bust up Bugs Moran's operation, and he knew that. So essentially, what happened was there was a rash of gang violence at that time because they were both fighting for territory on the north side. If you can imagine that, I mean, those of you who live in or near Chicago, as I do, might be really surprised to learn that the north side has a violent history. It's usually the south side that has more violence today. But basically, these guys were enemies. They were fighting for territory. And a meeting was called, basically, between the two families. And Bugs Moran, lucky guy that he was, ended up being late for the meeting, right? So if he had not been late, he would have been part of the Valentine's Day Massacre. And everybody who showed up to this meeting was just totally slaughtered and massacred in this garage in Chicago by Al Capone. And, of course, at that time, Al Capone had taken out Bugs Moran's entire army. So he took over the criminal underworld in Chicago, and that was the rise of Al Capone. So the rise of Al Capone and the St. Valentine's Day Massacre are inevitably inextricably linked. And that's some interesting north side of Chicago history for you there. So I'm going to read you what the History Channel has to say about this, and I thought it was a cool piece of history for the Valentine's Day episode of our show, because we all know we can't get too lovey-dovey with it, right? So I'm going to read you this portion called The Rise of Scarface on the HistoryChannel.com website. From 1924 to 1930, the city of Chicago gained a widespread reputation for lawlessness and violence. Not coincidentally, this phenomenon coincided with the reign of Chief Crime Lord Al Scarface Capone. That's what they called him, Scarface, who took over from his boss, Johnny Torrio, in 1925, who was an aging gangster and who had been wounded in, I guess, a couple of assassination attempts. So I've got a question here on Periscope that I am going to not address because it is goofy as hell. But if anybody wants to submit some real questions, let's go ahead and have those. So Al Capone was known as Scarface. He took over from Johnny Torrio, who was wounded in an assassination attempt. And Torrio had actually retired to New York, and some of you probably saw that on Hey guys, for those of you who are just joining us, feel free to submit your Valentine's Day questions about love, dating, sex, relationships, Valentine's Day, et cetera, right here on Periscope. And when I'm done with this segment, I will answer them for you. So Torrio retired to Brooklyn in New York, and some of you probably have seen this on Boardwalk Empire. You've seen some of the story play out there. That is factually and historically accurate. So he retired to Brooklyn in 1924 and kind of left the criminal underground to Al Capone. He left the criminal underground to Al Capone. And Prohibition at that time, ushered in by the passage of the 18th Amendment in 1920, had greatly increased the earnings of America's gangsters through bootlegging, the illegal manufacture and sale of alcohol, and speakeasies, which you all understand are drinking establishments that are underground or illicit at that time. So as well as gambling and prostitution. So these are all big income earners for Capone, and the 18th Amendment and Prohibition did really lead to a lot of criminal activity. So Capone's income really grew at that time, and it was estimated at the time that he was making about $60 million a year in the 20s and 30s. That's unheard of. His net worth in 1927 was around $100 million. So this guy was no joke coming up on Bugs Moran, and having Johnny Torrio kind of leave him this gangster legacy was really a powerful statement. And of course, Bugs Moran was right to not show up at that meeting on time, and he was probably right to be a little bit scared. George Bugs Moran was on his way to the garage in Chicago at the time of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, as I mentioned, and he just barely missed getting killed by a couple of minutes. A few days later, he told reporters, only Capone kills like that. Well, he was correct about that. He was absolutely correct about that. And Capone offered his own opinion on the matter, saying in return, the only man who kills like that is Bugs Moran. Well, it ended up that it was between a battle between Capone and Moran, but it wasn't much of a battle because all of Bugs Moran's people were slaughtered. So this is how Al Capone / Scarface came up in the criminal underground in the 1920s. So that's a little bit of Valentine's Day history for you. And for those of you who are joining us on Periscope, please feel free to submit your questions about love, dating, sex, relationships, Valentine's Day, at all, whatever you feel you'd like to talk about under the heading of any of those subjects. Please feel free to submit your questions, and I will answer them with my write-in questions on the air, which we are right now. We are on the air at this moment. So over the years, Al Capone consolidated control over most of Chicago's crime rackets, as the History Channel says, by ruthlessly gunning down his rivals. Well, and it makes sense. That's exactly what he did with the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. And this is really a very interesting piece of Chicago history, I think. And those of you who are actually from the North Side can, I believe, still visit the site of said massacre. I believe there are some Chicago bus tours that will give you that tour. And if you're interested in Capone history, you can always tour Cicero. Cicero is on the south side. You've got to be careful where you go in Cicero. So I'm not certainly telling you to show up there and just start demanding that people tell you about Al Capone. That'd be a little weird. But feel free to take some interesting historical tours in the Chicago area, because we do have quite a lot of history here. So there's a lot of other history surrounding Valentine's Day, and we'll get into some of that just as far as trivia and that sort of thing is concerned. The answer to our second trivia question, we are live on the air right now, and we're not going to be going back and forth with people on Periscope unless those people would like to submit questions about love, dating, or relationships. So the answer to trivia question number two, name the title of the song which became the theme song to the movie Titanic, is, of course, My Heart Will Go On, and annoyingly sung by Celine Dion in 1996. So I believe the single was released in, like, 1995. So that is answer number two to question number two. And we're going to ask a third question right now, and we're going to answer that later. And for those of you who would like to submit answers, feel free. Let us know what information you have rattling around in your mind. I certainly have a lot, and I know some of you probably do too. We're sticking to some Valentine's Day-related Q&A and trivia today. And so question number three is, name the infamous country love song sung by the father of a now famous singer in the 1990s. Extra points if you can name the artist as well as the song. Hint, many people found this song to be horribly annoying. So that's our running theme for today with the trivia. The songs, except for Boys to Men's I'll Make Love to You, of course, are horribly annoying, and even in the 90s were just horribly, horribly annoying. So one more time, question number three is, name the infamous country love song sung by the father of a now famous singer. Extra points if you can name the artist as well as the song. Hint, many people found this song to be horribly annoying. And I'm sure that any of you from my generation will quickly and easily get that answer correct. So, we have a couple of questions coming in on Periscope, but they're mainly from goofy men's rights people. And by the way, for those of you listening in, men's rights is not a thing. It's actually a collection or a collective of sort of harassing, childish, immature boys who feel that raping women is appropriate. So we're not going to entertain goofy or disrespectful questions by those folks. We are going to definitely entertain questions, valid questions by people who really want answers to love and dating and relationship related questions. And I'll be happy to answer those for you. If you really have some serious questions, feel free to ask. I'm going to go back to our switchboard here and see if anybody is calling in. Excuse me, nobody on the line right now, but we do have some more write-in questions, and I'm going to take just a moment to quickly organize these write-in questions. So I'm going to set up a brand new Periscope feed, submit your questions about love, dating, and relationships. To have them answered live on the air. Okay. So, again, for those of you joining us on Periscope, and I apologize for being repetitive to those of you who are listening in on our program today via blogtalkradio.com, but for those of you who are joining us on Periscope, we are actually in the process of broadcasting our live show right now, and we are looking for a few more questions, if anybody has any, about dating, relationships, love. If you have any Valentine's Day specific questions, feel free to ask, and as our show progresses, I will do my best to answer them on air. So I'm queuing up questions now, and that's why I'm leaving the Periscope feed open as I broadcast the show. So feel free to ask your questions and have them answered. Now I'm going to move on to another write-in question here. And bear with me as I scroll down through my program notes. So we've got another anonymous question, and those of you on Periscope, feel free to submit your questions right now, and I will answer them live on the air as we proceed with the show. So anonymous asks, I want to have sex with a new woman I've been dating. Would it seem cheesy or cliche to ask her on Valentine's Day after a nice date? Well, let's talk about that. That's an interesting viewer or listener question, rather. So this is not an easy question to answer, only because I don't know necessarily what your relationship is with this person, and I want to caution you against asking somebody to have sex with you because it's expected on a certain day. If you really like the person, yes, then go for it. Have sex, but it shouldn't be about the day, and it really shouldn't be, you know, as much as we like to have company and find cool people to hang out with and to be with sexually, and as much as we want to find folks who are compatible with us, I want to caution you against having sex with somebody just because you're lonely and because it's Valentine's Day and you want to check that ledger off in your book of life. I mean, that's not a very practical reason to have sex, and it's not very respectful of the other person. So I just want you to think about I want you to think about why you're wanting to have sex with this person, and I want you to think about, you know, whether they seem interested in you as well. Do they seem interested in you? Do they seem that, have they floated the idea of having sex today? If so, awesome. But don't do it because you're feeling lonely or you want to check that ledger off in a column and say, well, I've had sex on Valentine's Day, I'm a valid person now. You've got to make sure that you're respecting the other person as well as yourself. So I just want you to take care with that. And I also want you to understand, and maybe this isn't what you meant at all, but just for those of you who are listening out there who might be in similar situations, I want you to understand that, just because somebody agrees to go on a date with you does not mean that they owe you sex. It's not a transactional thing. Sex is not about transaction. It's not about I bought her dinner, now she gives me the sex. It's about I'm interested in this person and I think they're interested in me. That's what sex should always be about. So again, if it's something more than you wanting to boost your ego, forgive me, or something more than you wanting to check off a specific column in your book of life experiences, then yeah, if it's something more than that, go for it. Have sex today. But if it's something that you feel you're owed or something that you feel you just are supposed to do today, then I'm going to tell you to hold off and to consider why you're dating in the first place. So I'm doing my best to give advice to you when I don't know your situation. So don't feel that I'm judging you. I'm just going to treat you like I would any of my clients that come in for coaching and lifestyle consultation, and I'm going to be as honest with you as I can. So those of you who are here on Periscope can feel free to submit your questions about love, dating, and relationship issues right now. Feel free to submit your questions on Periscope, and I will answer them live on the air. We have a couple more questions here, but I think I'm going to give you guys on Periscope a chance to go ahead and write in with any questions you might have. So I'm going to give you a moment. If any of you people here on Periscope would like to submit your questions about love, dating, or relationships, now is the time. Feel free to submit those. Otherwise, you can just continue to listen into our show. We do have some interesting Valentine's Day facts here for you, and unfortunately, we are having a little bit of trouble with our internet service, so we may not have those for you right now, which is not fun. So give me just one moment, and I may return to our program notes and just take some questions here. And again, anybody tuning in on Periscope, please feel free to submit your questions right there on Periscope, and I'll be happy to answer them for you. Love, dating, relationships, whatever you would like to talk about, whatever you'd like to ask. So one of our trivia questions goes along with our history, Valentine's Day history, and I'm going to read the answer to our previous trivia question. So the trivia question that we just asked everyone, and you can submit your questions while I'm reading this, is name the infamous country love song sung by the father of a now famous singer in the 1990s. Extra points if you can name the artist as well as the song. Hint, many people found this song to be horribly annoying at the time. So that's our running theme today, horribly annoying songs and their singers. The answer to that question was Achy Breaky Heart by Billy Ray Cyrus, who is Miley Cyrus's father. Now we're going to move on down the line to the next question, which ties into our Valentine's Day history info. And that's question number 4. So for those of you who are keeping track at home, this is question number 4, and it is, what was the name of the priest who became a saint who was beheaded for marrying couples against the wishes of Emperor Claudius the Cruel in the year 278. So this was part of the Roman Empire. What was the name of the priest who later became a saint who was beheaded for marrying couples against the wishes of Emperor Claudius the Cruel in the year 278? So all you have to tell me is the saint's name, if you have it. No fair Googling. So for those of you who are just tuning in via Periscope, feel free to submit your questions about love, dating, and relationships right here, and I will be happy to answer them live on the air in between segments. If you're asking a serious question, Crystal, let me know. If you're just messing with me, that's fine too, but I want to take serious questions. So if you're really asking a serious question, I'd be happy to answer it. So I'm going to move on to one of our viewer questions in the meantime, which is from Josh. And Josh writes, should I pay for Valentine's Day dinner and a date with his girlfriend? Okay. So his question is just, should he pay? They've been dating for 6 weeks, and he's just not quite sure if it's an appropriate time for him to step up and pay for the date. Well, I would say it's up to you. I would say it's completely up to you. I definitely don't think that it should be down to the man to pay every time. I don't think it should be down to the woman to pay every time. So it's about what your history has been so far, too. Like, have you paid for other dates? Has she paid for other dates? If she paid for a date recently, then yeah, you can pay this time around, but it shouldn't be like you paying just because you're a man. I mean, that's, if that's where you're going with it, then no, maybe you should go Dutch and just each pay your own portion of the date. And if she paid last time, feel free to take her out, this time and pay this time. Crystal, could you just repeat your question one more time for me so that I'm able to make sure that I address it correctly, and I'll be happy to answer it. Anybody else with questions about love, dating, and relationships, feel free to ask and I will answer. Ask and it shall be given unto you. So as far as Josh is concerned, like I said, if she paid last time, you can pay this time. If you've paid every single time, and you've set a precedent, then I guess maybe don't stop on Valentine's Day. But I think it should be an equal give and take, because I think that relationships are an equal give and take. And I think that setting a precedent for never paying or always paying is not equal, and it's not a great way to start out a relationship. Unless, of course, the person that you're dating is paying for other activities and you're just getting dinner now and then. So I'm thinking go Dutch, or maybe if she paid last time, you can get it this time. And if you just want to treat her to a nice night out, you know, go for it. Go ahead and pay this once. But don't do it just because you think you're expected to, because that's going to create some differences of opinion between you, and it might make you feel like you're not being valued. And so Crystal's asking about the use of male chastity devices in dating relationships. I would say that depends on what you are using them for. Are you using them because you're just trying to prevent sex? Is it a BDSM thing? Is it a reward and punishment thing? I am sex positive, and I feel like anything that works for you is okay, as long as both parties are actively and enthusiastically consenting to the use of the device or whatever. You know, you can substitute the word device for pretty much anything. So any act, anything, any device, anything you want to do between two consenting people, as long as both are actively and enthusiastically consenting, go ahead and use them. And as long as they're not causing any lasting harm to anybody, obviously, that is a major issue too. If you are engaged, guys, in BDSM or role play of any kind, it's always really important to have a safe word. And I don't say that jokingly. I truly mean that, because there are, of course, role play lifestyles and BDSM lifestyles out there that include, you know, the use of words like stop and no more during sex play. It's always important to actually have a word that literally means stop. That, you know, I'm not feeling this, or I'm feeling unsafe, please stop. So it should be a word that you're not going to normally use throughout your sexual dialogue, like Febreze or, I don't know, Orchid or something that you're not going to actually normally say during sex. So I think it's important to acknowledge all sorts of different lifestyles and all sorts of different ways of engaging in a relationship. And I think the use of anything is okay with enthusiastic consent. So yeah, That's pretty cool. You know what? I've heard that. She says it has heightened the experience for her, and I've heard many people say the same thing, that it heightens the experience, that, you know, as long as both parties are happy and it's heightening that experience, you can go ahead and keep using it. Why not? So we've got a couple of other people tuning in here on Periscope, and they can submit even their questions right now. It's still too early for me, apparently, and I have not had enough coffee. Words aren't coming out right. So we've got another write-in question, and for those of you who are wanting to tune in at Progressive Dom on Periscope and submit your questions, feel free to do that while I'm reading. We've got another write-in question, which is from N. So that's okay. This person does not need to provide their full name. That's cool. N writes, should I wish the guy I've been on a couple of dates with Happy Valentine's Day? I don't want him being scared off or to think that I want to rope him into something. Well, it sounds, just from the way you're phrasing your question, it sounds like maybe this is somebody who hasn't been doing their share of reaching back to you when you reach out to them. It sounds like maybe this is someone that you feel you've got to take the initiative with because they're not reaching back. So that's the impression I'm getting. And for those of you just joining us on Periscope, feel free to submit your questions right now, and I will answer them on air. I'm answering some listener questions as we speak, but submit your questions and I'll get to them as soon as I can. So, N writes again, I'm going to read it one more time. Should I wish the guy I've been on a couple of dates with Happy Valentine's Day? I don't want him being scared off or to think I want to rope him into something. So it does sound like this guy maybe isn't reaching back when you're reaching out or is trying to seem cavalier or uninterested. And that's not cool. If somebody really is interested in you, they shouldn't be playing around, you know, not reaching out to you and playing games. And, you know, if they're really not interested in you, they should let you know that. So that's what I'm going to tell you first and foremost. Secondly, I'm going to say if he hasn't reached out to you, like yesterday, for instance, if he didn't reach out to you yesterday, if he didn't reach out to you the day before, if he hasn't reached out to you this week, then why do you want to make the effort with him? If he's not reaching out and he's not connecting with you and you feel that you've got to make all the effort, then maybe think about just talking to him a different day. I'm all about no pressure in relationships, and you don't want to pressurize the situation. You don't want to inject pressure into this situation with somebody that you don't know that well and you've only been on a couple dates with. If he contacts you today, for instance, and reaches out to you and says Happy Valentine's Day, feel free to say it back. One thing I want to caution you against is reaching out too casually and just saying, hey, you know, how are you? What's up? What are you doing today? Because that could come across as a little bit passive aggressive, and he's going to know right away that you're angling for a Happy Valentine's Day. So I'm just going to say if he hasn't reached out to you, talk to him a different day. And if he has reached out to you over the last few days or weeks, then maybe reach out to him and just let him know that you hope that he's enjoying his Valentine's Day. I think that's how I would phrase it if you do reach out to him. Just say, I hope that you're enjoying your Valentine's Day. I hope you have a wonderful day, and leave it at that. Unfortunately, there is a bit of a stigma attached to women when it comes to dating, that anytime we reach out or tell somebody what we want, that we are being possessive or that we want to lock that person down or that we want to get married to that person. And it's like, whoa, you know, hold your horses. Many of us are just opening up and communicating and telling somebody genuinely what we think. There's nothing else attached to it. Like, please don't attach your cultural and gendered baggage to just a simple turn of phrase or a simple how are you. But sadly, many people do. So I'm going to just tell you to be careful. Being a woman is a different experience, and you've got to recognize that some people are going to put their baggage onto you, and they're going to make assumptions about anything you say. It is a delicate balance when you're dating. So just be mindful of how you speak. And if you do reach out again, just hope you're having a wonderful Valentine's Day and enjoying this beautiful day, thinking of you, and leave it at that. So we're going to go back to the answer for our question number, what was it, four? Yeah, question number four. So trivia question number four was, what was the name of the priest who became a saint who was beheaded for marrying couples against the wishes of Emperor Claudius the Cruel in the year 278 in the Roman Empire? And, of course, the answer to that question was Saint Valentine. There was a decree made by Emperor Claudius that said that the Roman soldiers should not be able to marry, because apparently he thought that enlistment was down because the soldiers were attached to their wives and families. So he made a decree, a blanket decree, saying that the Roman soldiers could no longer marry. And this priest called Valentine went ahead and married couples anyway, and was subject to, being tortured and, I believe, eventually beheaded by Emperor Claudius. So that is sort of the etymology of St. Valentine's Day. That's where that originates from. And it's an interesting piece of history for today. So that is the answer to trivia question number four. I'm going to throw number five out there right now, which is, what year did the St. Valentine's Day Massacre take place? Okay, so we talked about where it happened, but what year did it take place? Now, let's move on to some questions. And for those of you tuning in on Periscope, you can submit your questions at any time. Otherwise, we've got a couple more questions. I believe we've got a couple more writing questions to answer. Let's see here. You know what? I'm going to move on to our next segment, because we only have a couple more questions to answer. And for those of you tuning in on Periscope, submit your questions anytime. Now, we're going to move on to my Valentine's Day recipes segment and Dominique Saves Dinner. So that's the title of our segment, and I hope that it will be true. I hope that I can save your Valentine's Day dinner. So something that we were talking about on our Facebook page was actually, why are people expected to go out and spend a ton of money on a Valentine's Day holiday? Why are people expected to go out and, you know, spend hundreds of dollars on a date when you could go out any other day of the year? You know, why is it expected today of all days, and is that appropriate? Well, obviously, it is a bit of a Hallmark holiday. So, you know, do you need to be told when to celebrate your loved ones? Do you need to be told what day to show people you care? No, but it's still a nice reminder, I think. It's still a nice reminder to have a day that is set aside for telling somebody that you care. So that in mind, bearing that in mind, you don't have to spend tons of money. You can actually invite somebody over for dinner, whether it be a friend, whether it be a family member, a loved one, somebody you're dating. You just invite them over for dinner and make something simple. So I've got a whole meal plan for you here. This is a meal that I often cook for people that I care about and that I love. And we've got a particularly noisy cat in the background making herself known. Hi, Annie. I know. Annie's the boss of all bosses here. She runs the show. So she's just letting you guys know that. So here we go. This is a vegetarian-friendly recipe, although it's not vegan. And if you wanted to add a meat dish to this, of course you could. I am a vegetarian, and I know many of you are vegetarian and vegan as well. So I wanted to make this dish that had some good crossover appeal. Now, anybody can follow simple instructions. And this meal is really simple, and I'll post it on our Welcome to My World Facebook page later on, so you can follow the directions if you want to use this. For those of you tuning in on Periscope, submit your questions right here while I'm talking and while I am broadcasting the show. Any questions that you have about love, dating, relationships, or sex, or Valentine's Day dates, feel free to submit those questions right now and right here. I'm going to make that announcement a couple of times as we go through this segment. So, my suggestion to you is to go get a nice bottle of wine. It doesn't need to be expensive. Maybe a nice smooth red or a nice light white. And I am going to give you a couple of my very favorite recipes, and I'm going to put them together in a four-course meal for you. So you'll need about at least an hour of prep time, I would say, for all of this, and you won't be disappointed. Ingredients are cheap for each of these. So the first course would be salad, and the second is some quinoa cake appetizers, which you can actually throw on a dinner plate as well. You can make that a part of your dinner as well. And then we've got, for the main course, we've got steamed vegetables and Thomas Jefferson's macaroni and cheese. And then for the dessert course, we've got some wonderful, smooth, easy, and healthy chocolate mousse. So I'm going to read out the directions to everything for you because I want to cover some of the tweaks that I've made to these recipes. And I use these ones quite a bit. These are my go-to recipes. And again, I get a lot of compliments on them. So if you want to cook for the people that you love today, feel free to follow this recipe. And for those of you joining us on Periscope, submit your questions about love, dating, relationships, sex while I'm talking, and I will answer them periodically throughout each segment. So feel free to submit them at any time. So for the salad, you're going to need the following ingredients. A cup of dried cranberries. You can use less if you'd like. 1/2 cup of cashews or almonds, ground or chopped. 3 cups of baby spinach, 3 cups of arugula, and 1 large wedge of brie cheese. And you're also going to need some strawberry jam, which you're going to use like 2 to 3 tablespoons full of. So to make this, you're going to preheat your oven to about 200 degrees Fahrenheit. If your oven is a little bit on the cool side, you can add about 15 degrees, which is what I normally have to do. Put the brie in a small oven-safe baking dish. It will run once it's cooked, so make sure that you scrape off the mold either before or after you cook it. It's only going into a salad, and it don't need to look fancy. So bake that brie for about 5 minutes or until melted. Combine the arugula and baby spinach into a large salad bowl. Throw in all of the remaining ingredients and then top it off with some melted brie from the oven. Stir well and make sure that you serve this warm. The brie should be baked last and only when ready to serve. The salad, as the warmth of the brie adds the pleasant consistency, I think, to the salad, it really wouldn't taste the same if you put the brie on top and threw it in the refrigerator and served it later. So when you're ready to serve the salad, then you can bake your brie and throw the brie on top. And like I said, it's maybe 5 to 10 minutes tops to bake the brie. So just make sure that you are ready to throw that in the oven when your honey comes over and throw the brie on top at that time. It's a really great consistency and it's a great taste. As far as preparation, it's like less than 10 minutes. So there you go. And I think that you'll really enjoy this one. Let me know what you think if you make it. So the next step is making the quinoa cakes. And, you know, I put quinoa out there rather than like crab cakes or something because some people who are vegetarian don't eat seafood and then some of you are vegan. So I thought, well, quinoa cakes makes a good substitution. And every time I've made these for people, they have just disappeared so fast and people have really loved them. So here's what you're going to do with the quinoa cakes. These can be prepared ahead of time if you like, and you can just heat them up. Or you can throw it all in a bowl and put it in the fridge, and you can cook each cake individually at the time of your date. So for those of you tuning in on Periscope, submit your questions right now about dating, relationships, sex, or Valentine's Day dates in particular. Any of those topics are totally out there on the table, and I'm happy to answer your questions as I continue through this live show. And as I continue plowing through this segment, I'm happy to answer your questions, but you've got to ask them on Periscope so that I can see them. So for the quinoa cakes, these, like I said, these can be prepared ahead of time and then warmed up later if necessary. The ingredients are Naughty Kitties. Jumping up onto our lap is number one. That's the number one ingredient. Like I said, Annie wants to make herself known here. So the ingredients for the quinoa cakes are vegetable broth, quinoa, water, olive oil, an onion, a zucchini, a carrot, a teaspoon of garlic powder or like one clove of garlic minced, sea salt, white or black pepper to taste, a pinch of lemon juice, 4 eggs, and a half cup of ground oats. So one more time, you're going to need 2 cups of vegetable broth. You're going to need 2 cups of quinoa, 2 to 3 cups of water. Start with 2 cups and eyeball it because quinoa can soak up a lot of water. 3 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 onion, 1 zucchini grated, 1 carrot grated, 1 teaspoon of garlic powder or 1 clove of garlic minced, sea salt and white or black pepper to taste, a pinch of lemon juice, 4 eggs lightly beaten, 1/2 cup of ground oats. So the cooking instructions, and for those of you on Periscope, you can submit your love questions at any time while I move through these segments on air live, which is what we're doing right now. So to cook, and I did borrow these instructions from allrecipes.com and tweak them a little bit myself over the years. So I'm kind of giving you a hybridized version of the piece from allrecipes.com that also is tweaked to my taste just a little bit. So you're going to want to bring the vegetable broth, water, and the quinoa to a boil in a saucepan. Then you're going to want to, after it's boiling, reduce heat to about medium to low, cover it, let the quinoa simmer until it's tender, and most of the broth is absorbed. That should be like 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. Usually it's around 15 when I cook it. And then put the quinoa either on a platter or in a big bowl to cool it off. Heat a tablespoon of olive oil or coconut oil, because I think that gives it a really good taste if you use some virgin coconut oil. So like a tablespoon-ish of coconut oil or olive oil if you don't want to use coconut oil in a large skillet. Medium heat is best. You don't want to have grease snapping up at your face. And then you're going to cook and stir the onion, zucchini, and carrot. And you're going to cook it until it's hot and translucent, so that's like maybe 3-4 minutes, and then you're going to throw that onto a plate, let it cool off. Then you're going to mix the vegetables with 3 cups of the cooled quinoa. You're going to stir it in a bowl, season it with the garlic, salt, and black pepper or white pepper. You're going to pour the eggs, the ground oats, into the bowl, and you're going to stir that mixture all together, and it'll kind of congeal a little bit, and that's what it's supposed to do. Then you're going to divide it into, I don't know, 15 patties maybe, and you're going to heat about 2 more tablespoons of coconut oil in your skillet again, and you're going to throw the patties into the skillet, however many you can fit in there at once. I usually do like 2 minutes per side, maybe 3, depending on what your heat is set at. And it usually works out really well. So those of you who are joining us on Periscope, this is a live show and we're in progress right now. Please feel free to leave us your questions about dating, love, relationships, or Valentine's Day right here. And as I continue on with the show, I'll be happy to answer those questions for you. So back to our recipe segment, while I'm waiting for questions to come in, you're going to want to fry those patties, like I said, about 2 to 3 minutes each side, and just set them on a plate to cool. You can warm them up later. You can eat them while they're hot. They're really, really good. And it just doesn't take very long at all to cook all of this. I would say to probably prepare the quinoa cakes first and then start cooking them when the person that you are going to be cooking for comes over. So, you know, throw 10 of them in a pan and cook them just before that person walks in the door. They'll be nice and crisp and ready to go. And while you're doing that, you can boil your macaroni and cheese water. You can steam some veggies when that person gets ready to, again, walk in the door. You can start boiling your macaroni water, and you can throw your steamed vegetables in the microwave in the bag. You don't have to get anything fancy. You can just get a bag of frozen steamable vegetables. And as far as our macaroni and cheese dish is concerned, this is a really hearty casserole, so this is more than enough for a couple of people for a Valentine's Day date. For those of you joining us on Periscope, feel free to submit your questions about love, dating, or relationships at any time. I will be happy to answer them on the air for you. And I'm going to continue on with our segment at this time. So for the Thomas Jefferson macaroni and cheese, this can be prepared ahead of time and warmed up later if you'd like, or you can make it all fresh. Preheat your oven to about 400 degrees Fahrenheit. If your oven runs a little bit low like mine does, you can bring it to like 415. You'll need a big pot as well as a saucepan or a smaller pot for this recipe. So the ingredients you're going to need are 16 ounce is usually the size I use, package of elbow macaroni, 1/4 cup of butter, 1/4 cup of flour, 1/4 cup of thyme, 1/4 teaspoon of thyme. Yeah, not 1/4 cup. That would not be good. 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper, 1/8 teaspoon of white pepper. I think it's really important that you use white pepper because it gives it a little bit of a spicier flavor, and it changes the flavoring a little bit in a way that I can't quite describe. It's really, really good. And then you're going to have about 3 cups of milk on hand. You're going to have a pinch of nutmeg. I like to grind my nutmeg from the actual nut. Insert joke there. Ba-dum-bum. 1/4 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce. Okay. Worcestershire sauce. I'm sorry. It's still early for me. Worcestershire sauce. So to recap so far. Elbow macaroni, butter, flour, thyme, cayenne pepper, white pepper, milk, nutmeg, Worcestershire sauce, sea salt, and then you're going to have about 3 cups of sharp cheddar cheese on hand. You're going to divide each cup up into a separate bowl or a separate cup because you're going to be using these for different things, and you're going to be using them for different portions of the recipe. So you're going to keep maybe a teaspoon of Dijon mustard on hand, and you're going to want to set aside about 1/2 cup of panko breadcrumbs. You can get those from pretty much any grocery store, and you're going to want to have 1 extra tablespoon of butter melted. You're going to want to use maybe a dash of cream in this recipe, and I like to add at least 1 other kind of cheese besides cheddar. So sometimes I'll add Jack or Colby. Both are really good choices for this. I also like to add a wheel of brie, not a huge wheel. You don't need to add that much cheese to your recipe, but a small wheel of brie can really make a difference in the taste. And you can either melt it on top of the casserole once you're finished, or you can put it right in with the cheese sauce. I think it's really good. And this is, again, a really hearty recipe. If you'd like to add 1 tablespoon of wine or cooking sherry to the cheese sauce for flavor, that will help to develop the other flavors in the dish. And if you'd like to make this recipe slightly healthier and heartier, I would recommend adding a package of mushrooms, chopped obviously, and 1 onion finely chopped to the macaroni once it's in the pan and ready to bake. I've also added corn to this recipe in the past, which sounds odd, but it makes for a really good a hybridized casserole. So you can keep it with just the macaroni and cheese, and you can take it the classic route that Thomas Jefferson loved so much, or you can kind of mix it up a little bit. So the cooking instructions are thusly. Follow these instructions and follow them closely, and I'll post them on our Facebook page. So fill a large pot with lightly salted water. Bring it to a rolling boil over heat. Once the water is boiling, stir in the macaroni and return it to a boil. You want the pasta to be, you know, al dente. You don't want it to be really well done. So 7 to 8 minutes, stirring occasionally. It should be slightly firm when you take it out. Drain it. Then you're going to want to take your saucepan, and it's going to be a large saucepan, of course, so don't get out a tiny one. Melt that quarter of a cup of butter in that large saucepan over medium heat. When the butter starts to kind of foam and bubble, I want you to put your ear close to the pan. Please don't burn your ear. Please be careful. But if you hear it start to sing just a little bit, if you hear a little bit of a sound coming from it, and not just the bubbling sound, but like a singing sound, then you're good. You're just about ready at that point to throw in the flour. And then as you throw in the flour, stir it, make sure it's not lumpy, and return it to the heat. Wait till it's pale yellow, 3 to 4 minutes, and then throw in the thyme, the pepper, and the cayenne pepper. And then stir it for another minute or so. Then I want you to start whisking in about a cup of milk, slowly whisk it in until it's smooth. And then after you've got a little bit of a smooth sauce going, I want you to pour in the remaining milk and whisk it again. Bring the heat up and bring it to a nice simmer. Then you're going to stir in the nutmeg, the Worcestershire sauce, salt, and you're going to keep it simmering on medium to low heat, and you're going to let it thicken maybe 8-10 minutes, and you're going to whisk very often throughout so that it doesn't get lumpy. And then finally, once you've got a good consistency, you're going to turn the heat off, and then you're going to add that 2 1/4 cups of cheddar cheese, and you're going to stir that until it's all melted, and you're going to add that Dijon mustard at that time. Then you're going to want to transfer the macaroni into the casserole dish. Grease the dish, of course, first, and then pour the cheese sauce on top of the macaroni and combine it and make sure that it gets all throughout the pasta. And you're going to put the panko breadcrumbs on top. If you're adding vegetables, put the vegetables in first and then the panko breadcrumbs. And, of course, you can always throw in that extra, the rest of the cheese on top. Just sprinkle it either over the panko breadcrumbs or under the panko breadcrumbs. It really doesn't matter which. It's going to be a nice crisp topping either way. And then you're going to throw this in the oven, and you're going to bake it in your preheated oven at either 400 or 415, depending on how warm your oven runs. And you're going to leave it in there for 20 to 30 minutes. Checking and eyeballing it yourself. So for those of you joining us on Periscope, feel free to submit your dating, relationship, or sex questions right now, and I will answer them as we move through the segments live on air. And so for the dessert portion of our recipe, this is actually the healthiest we've gone all day today as far as recipes are concerned. The quinoa cakes are pretty healthy, but the macaroni and cheese is kind of rich. So I figured I would throw in a really healthy dessert that just, it doesn't taste like it's healthy. It's amazing. It tastes wonderful. And that is smooth, easy, and healthy chocolate mousse. Nobody will ever know what's in it, and don't tell them, because if you do, they're not going to eat it. So it's one of those recipes. It's like one of those vegan gems that you find in some random website. And I think I did find this on a random website years ago. I've been making it ever since, and it surprises me every time. It's just wonderful. So buy 4 avocados, 2 bananas, and some cocoa powder and some sweetener of some sort. I really like to use coconut sugar. I think it's a really smooth, sweet flavor without all of the calories and all of the implications that come with regular sugar. So, but you can use regular sugar if you want, or you can use honey, whatever you want to use, something that will sweeten the recipe. So 4 avocados, 2 bananas, you're going to want to hit the avocados, and you're going to want to peel the bananas, and you're going to throw this all into a blender or a food processor and you're going to add maybe a quarter of a cup to half of a cup of chocolate, just baking chocolate or powdered chocolate. And then you're going to put maybe, I don't know, a quarter of a cup to a half a cup of the coconut sugar or honey or regular sugar, if that's the route you want to go. Throw it all into that blender and blend it. And then let it sit in individual serving cups in the refrigerator for a couple of hours. Throw some whipped topping on top of it, and it looks like a really like decadent, unhealthy chocolate mousse. And in fact, it is really decadent and really, really good. So if you're cooking for somebody this Valentine's Day, if you don't want to go out and spend tons of money and do the cliche thing and go to Gibson's Steakhouse or what have you and drop $300 there, then you can actually cook at home. Novel concept, I know. And you can impress the person that you like with some homemade food. So for those of you tuning in on Periscope, and for those of you who I see, we do have a couple tuning in on our Facebook page, please feel free to ask us your dating, relationship, Valentine's Day themed questions, and let us know what you want to know about, and I'd be happy to answer your question for you. So we've got one right now in Periscope viewers. Okay, Crystal has a question, and I'm just going to call you Crystal because you've got a long name, and Crystal is in it. So you're talking about, now this is something that we cover on some of our other shows, and I want to keep this open to everybody today. So I'm not going to go super PC today. I'm going to just answer any question that anyone has, honestly. And so Crystal was asking what they can do to get their girlfriend to become more comfortable with anal sex. Well, the first thing I'm going to say is if somebody is not comfortable with something, don't do it. If somebody doesn't want to try something, if a partner doesn't want to try something, don't do it. It's all about enthusiastic consent. I know that especially here in the United States, consent can be really muddled, and it can be really, you know, for some reason we expect that people are going to give us their consent just to like try something new, but they don't have to do that. So I hate to say it, but if that person's not comfortable, you may want to move on to something else. If they're comfortable trying it and they just are concerned about the feeling of it, I would actually say go to one of your local like sex supply stores or talk to somebody from one of those sex party MLM companies and get like some numbing cream. I know that with surprise parties, I think they used to have some numbing cream that was also supposed to increase the pleasure for that, for anal sex. So there you go. You can try something like that. Maybe get her used to it with trying something that's not as daunting as a penis going into that area. Maybe try something like anal beads or something like that first and see if she's comfortable with that and kind of move on from there. If she wants to try it and she's enthusiastic about trying it and she gives you her consent, awesome, go for it. If not, don't do anything that she's not comfortable with. And just for those of you listening out there, somebody can actually withdraw their consent. If somebody becomes uncomfortable during a sexual encounter, they can withdraw their consent. That is something that can happen, and you have to honor that. It's not just about you. It's not just about them. It's about both of you. And if one party does not consent to something, that act stops. So just putting that out there, because when we talk about issues having to do with sex, especially when we talk about role play and BDSM, we've got to always address enthusiastic consent. So we've got a submission on Facebook from somebody who I know, and I just want to say hi to this person without outing them or saying who they are. And it's really nice to hear from you. And I've been following your Instagram page and everything looks wonderful. You look like you're having a great time. So here's the question. Okay. This person recently connected with their old childhood sweetheart. Oh, that's wonderful. And they have a lot of love for each other, but they live in two different states and have different lifestyles. And this
woman is not sure if she is worth, if this person is worth pursuing, or what they're going to do. If is it love? She doesn't know. So she's saying any advice would be appreciated, and I'm happy to answer that question. And I'm actually, first of all, I want to say congratulations, because it's hard to connect with somebody from your past sometimes that you want to connect with. Like, that takes guts. That takes a lot of character to put yourself out there like that. And I think that's really great that you've been able to connect, reconnect. I think it depends on how long you've been apart, first of all. Like, how much have you grown and how long have you been apart? Because I think we do remain the same, like, core people that we once were. I think we do remain the same, but I think that we grow and we change, and maybe our needs change, and maybe the way that we want to accomplish things in life changes. And if you do have a really different lifestyle, yeah, that can grate against the other person. But at the same time, having a different lifestyle can also just challenge the person in your life to kind of see life through your eyes and see things from another perspective. And I think that's always a good thing. So I guess I would say give it a try. I mean, that's my, just from what you're saying and from my own, I guess, intuition and experience, I would say give it a try and see what happens. You don't have to, like, commit to anything crazy right off the bat. And certainly you don't have to go making any big declarations or anything, but I think it's worth noting that sometimes in life, two separate lifestyles and two very different people can just end up challenging each other in a really positive way. And since I know you a little bit, I think that you're such a, like, a sweet, just brilliant, bright person that, you know, you're, and a very mature person, that I can't see you having any trouble handling this difference of lifestyles. And for some reason, I'm getting the feeling that maybe this is somebody you really liked for a long time, or that you didn't know if they returned your feelings anymore or something like that. I'm not sure if that's accurate. I don't know why I'm feeling that. I can't explain it, but that's intuitively what I'm feeling. And I think that the fact that this person kind of found you again, it says a lot, and it says that they really care about you and that they want to make things work with you. I also get the feeling that this person might have been harboring some kind of, like, deep, really deep feeling for you over the years that they didn't admit to you or weren't able to tell you about for some reason, and that now that they're back in your life, they're really going to be feel privileged to be able to show you how much they care. And I think you're going to have a good experience with this person. Just, again, intuitively speaking, I don't always like to go, you know, the intuitive route and go off the cuff, but that's something I'm feeling. And since I know you a little bit, I feel comfortable saying that. So thank you for writing, and I'm actually glad to hear from you. I hope everything's going well for you. And we've got one more write-in question right now, and if anyone else on Periscope has any questions, feel free to submit them at any time, right now or at any time. So our final, write-in question. Okay, I think it's our final question. Yes, our final write-in question comes from Sasha, and anybody on Periscope can submit at any time any question that they would like to ask. So Sasha writes, should I wish the guy I've liked for a long time happy Valentine's Day? The only thing is he is now back together with his kid's mom. Ooh, I don't want to send the wrong message, but I really like him and it might be a nice thing to say. Okay. I mean, that's a tricky one. It really is. Firstly, I'm gonna put something out there, and this is my personal belief, and I'm sure many of you will disagree, but I'm sure that many more of you will probably agree, because I want to just be very logical about this, and I want to remove some of the expected gender role nonsense from this conversation, because it is just all too present when issues like this come up and when situations like yours arise in life. I do want to say that you have a history, it sounds like you have a history with this person, because you're saying back together, and you're saying that this is somebody you've dated before he was back together with his kid's mom. So I'm going to try to cut through some of the, you know, guilt-ridden advice that people are going to give you of you're a bad person and this and that, and you're don't be a homeworker and all of that silliness. And I'm just going to say if this is somebody who likes you and cares about you and who you in turn like and care about, then feel free. You're not doing anything wrong by wishing them happy Valentine's Day. And I want to point out that you're single, it sounds like, right? So you're single. And if this person is in a committed relationship and they're still somehow interested in you or expressing interest in you, that's on them, not you. So don't let anybody tell you that you're not a good person because you care about this individual and want to wish them a happy Valentine's Day. Nothing wrong with that. Their relationship is their issue, not yours. You have made your feelings clear, it sounds like, and you have been there for this person in the past, and you both care about each other. So I do want to just let you know that if anybody is out there trying to make you feel bad about this, don't let them. His relationship is on him. And that's that. So I'm not suggesting that you be devious or try to purposely get in between these people if they are in a committed relationship, but certainly you're allowed to be in this person's life. You're allowed to have feelings, and that's that. Yeah, of course you can wish them happy Valentine's Day. And I do just want to caution you, though, that if this person is involved in a really tumultuous relationship, or if this person is even involved in a relationship with somebody who is a tad bit on the mentally unwell side, then I would caution you to choose your words carefully. You don't want the baby's mom kind of fixating on you or coming after you or deciding that you're the reason that she and her guy split up or anything like that. So, you know, just I want to caution you to choose appropriate words and to make sure that you're, you know, that you're being respectful, and it sounds like you are, and it sounds like you just care about this person, but it also sounds like they've been breaking up and getting back together, and, you know, there may not be consistency there, so if your feelings are consistent and you feel comfortable reaching out, go for it. I think you're right. It might be a nice thing to say. Just make sure that, you know, that you're not becoming involved in their situation, whatever that may be, because you don't need that. You're single and you're free and you don't need any of that. So let's go back to our trivia questions and let's answer our previous question. And planes are out early flying overhead, so apologies for the noise. So our last question was, what year did the St. Valentine's Day Massacre take place? We talked about the St. Valentine's Day Massacre earlier, and that was 1929. And, of course, as you know, it took place in Chicago. We're getting ready to finish up the show here, so anybody on Periscope who has any more questions, feel free to submit them, and we will answer them right here. Oh, that's a good question, too. Again, from Crystal, you've got some good ones today. Thank you. Any tips for guys, you're asking, and I just want to be sure that I'm getting this right, that you're asking for tips on oral sex for guys, performing oral sex on women is what I'm assuming. So the only thing I can tell you is that every woman is different. Obviously, every man is different as well. And you've got to look for feedback and look, like, what is the feedback you're getting? Are you getting words? Are you being told that it feels good? Are you being told that they're enjoying what you're doing? Are they feeling pleasure? Are they responding with nonverbal cues that indicate that they're feeling pleasure? So if so, you're good. I would say too much direct stimulation for women of the clitoris is probably a bit much. I know that men often, because their anatomy is slightly different than ours, don't you know? I don't know if you realize that, guys, but their anatomy is slightly different than ours. So they prefer direct stimulation, like really direct stimulation on the penis. And they prefer constant and direct stimulation, right? So it's not that way for women. Be careful when you are approaching the clitoris because you could actually cause the woman pain and you don't want to do that. Unless that is something you've discussed prior to engaging in your sexual relationship, then please don't try to cause that person pain. And if you are going to engage in something like that, again, use a safe word, but careful with the direct stimulation of the clitoris. Be gentle. If you are using your tongue, be very gentle. If you're using your hands, be even more gentle. I would say change up the motion that you're using, either with your tongue or your hands. You can start out going clockwise and then move to counterclockwise and vice versa, back and forth. Switch it up a little bit. And I think that should pretty much keep her engaged throughout the oral sex session. Keep paying close attention to the cues her body is giving you. If there is more blood flow to that area, then if there's more vaginal blood flow to the tissue of the vagina and the lips of the vagina and the clitoris and the vulva, and you're noticing all of this, then good for you. You're giving her pleasure. You're seeing the blood flow come in. You're noticing the fact that she's becoming wet. There you go, pleasuring her. And you've got to keep looking at these cues and taking cues from her and just making sure that you're paying attention. So switch it up, too, between your hands and your tongue and your lips. And also, one thing I want to caution people about with regard to that is, again, with women, you've got to be a little bit more gentle than men with the direct stimulation. So when it comes to things like biting, please ask first. Don't ever bite somebody in that area without first asking them. Be very gentle if you're going to be using your teeth or anything like that. Even with your tongue and your hands, be very gentle. So that's the best advice I can give you, and switch up stimulation of the clitoris for stimulation of the inner and outer lips of the vagina, and kind of go back and forth. And again, do the counterclockwise and then clockwise, or clockwise and then counterclockwise. Switch up the motion a little bit of your tongue, of your hands, of your fingers, and you should be good. Also, some women prefer more stimulation of the clitoris and the outer lips of the vagina, and then some actually prefer more internal stimulation, either with fingers, with tongue, what have you. So ask her what she likes, or just go by her feedback at the time and switch it up. Internal, external, clitoris, lips, tongue, fingers, and as long as you continue to switch it up, you will have a great experience. One thing I've noticed a lot of, and that I've heard a lot of from my male clients, is that they've been told in the past, I don't know who's telling them this, but maybe their friends, but they are being told that women simply like to have a hand stuck down by their vagina and quickly vibrated very hard and very quickly. That is not something that women love. That is not something that you're going to get a great response from. If you want to vibrate your hand in that area, please ask her first if that's a little bit too much touch for her, or if it's a little bit rough for her. And certainly don't just do that. Switch it up. You know, we're not like slot machines. You don't just put in the money and pull the lever and, you know, we shoot out orgasms at you. You've got to be a little nuanced in your approach. Obviously, same goes for women with men when you're pleasuring a man. So there you go. I hope that helps to answer your question a little bit. And anybody else with any questions about, slot machines, I don't know what other comparison I could make, but I was just thinking, you know, there's like an expectation, or I guess an expectation would be the correct word in our culture, that you know, do one thing and then the orgasm comes out and then you're good and you're done. It's like, no, you've got to be a little bit more nuanced than that in your approach. So I hope that answers your question. Any other questions about sex, love, dating, relationships, feel free to shoot them at me before we finish up here, and I'll be happy to answer them for you. As you can tell, we talk about everything right here, and we certainly don't shy away from subjects that other people might. We are more than happy to be sex positive, and I do feel that it's possible to be, you know, feminist, egalitarian, and sex positive all in one. So go figure. For those of you who would like to submit more questions, feel free to do that. Otherwise, I think we're about to wrap up the show for today. And I hope that you guys all have a wonderful Valentine's Day and that you treat the people you love well. You're welcome. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you treat the people that you love well, and I hope that you are prepared to be conscientious, kind, and loving partners, sex partners, dating partners, and loved ones. So be kind to each other, be good to each other, and have a wonderful and happy Valentine's Day. And please make every other day just as meaningful as Valentine's Day. Don't wait just for one day to come around to tell people that you love them. Thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you so much for joining us here on Welcome to My World. If you'd like to check out our recipe post, please feel free to tune in and check over on our Facebook page at Welcome to My World with Dom on Facebook. And we'll have that information posted for you if you would like to use it. And we hope you will. Thanks so much, guys, and have a really happy Valentine's Day.